There's blood on the streets, it's up to my ankles. There's blood on the streets, it's up to my knees. Coming to you from the ATX, broadcasting worldwide, in defiance of tyranny.
There's blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles. There's blood in the streets, it's up to my knees. There's blood in the streets, the town of Chicago. There's blood on the rise, it's following me.
The head of the Zionist Organization of America says we got dancing Iranians on 9/11. We got to nuke them right now. They hit us on 9/11. Ha ha, yeah, right. And keep our elves are real.
There's no way planes did that. There were bombs in the buildings. Remember Trump?
We got to go into Iraq. They hit us on 9/11. No evidence. Now we're going to go to Iran. 25 years later, 26 years later, they hit us on 9/11. Boy, you jumped the shark on that, Netanyahu, with your surrogates. Because now, I'll do it. You know what? I'll do a special Saturday show. We'll tee up the 9/11 20 top points that was an inside job. And we'll examine Israel's involvement in it. And I'll dig up all the smoking guns. I wrote books, made films about it. So I am the father of the 9/11 Truth Movement. That's just a fact. Said it day one. That day when it happened. Laid it all out. So we'll revisit that because they're trying to bring it back. Just in, Netanyahu says, as one thinker once said, actually in Russia, he said, the state of Israel is a small superpower, but a superpower. We're going to become a large global superpower. And I read this in Israeli papers. They say, well, America's declining doesn't matter. We'll be the new crossroads of the world. But they want us to help build their greater Israel, and then we go bankrupt, and that makes BlackRock happy. Here's old Benjamin Netanyahu.
מוצא חן בעיניי מאוד. מוצא חן בעיניי שאנחנו מקדמים חזון בתנופה. זה חלק מחזון 2040, או תשמעו על זה. פשוט להזניק את המדינה שלנו לגבהים עוד יותר גבוהים, עוד יותר נוסקים, עוד יותר הישגיים. איך אמר אחד מהאנשים, אחד מההוגי דעות דווקא ברוסיה, הוא אמר, מדינת ישראל היא מעצמת על קטנה, אבל היא מעצמת על, מעצמה עולמית קטנה. אנחנו הולכים להיות מעצמה עולמית גדולה בכל התחומים הללו, ואני חושב שזה צעד ראשון, ותשמעו עוד על צעדי ההמשך. אני באמת...
All right, so we're going to go to break here in about 2 minutes, and Kyle Serafin, who is one smart cookie on so many fronts, joins us to talk about the Iran war, Gorka, the new terrorism czar, saying we're coming after you for your speech, we're profiling all of you if you criticize Israel. We'll look at Trump's trip to China, Xi's nuclear war threat, but also saying he'll help us trade Hormuz. We'll look at Cuba on the verge of falling, kind of Trump's consolation prize, because Iran isn't going the way he wants. I'm certainly not going to cry about that. There's a lot of unforeseen problems there. Also, the data centers and the fact that they're doubling, tripling prices around the towns they come into, and we're just being told, screw you, that's the way it is. And I looked at the numbers. The U.S. is already dominant in data centers and is set to have more data center power than everybody else in the world. So this is definitely a AI arms race going on. If we just have to commit to AI, let it run everything, or somebody else might get it. That's what Kevin O'Leary said when he was on with Tucker yesterday. So I've got a big stack. Well, I could do 2 hours on this. You know, I might just do this in the fourth hour because we've got Peter Tichton, one of Trump's lawyers and the main lawyer that's been advising him on declaring emergencies. He's a good guy. We're talking about elections. It's totally constitutional. But what about for the economic crises that the Iran war has caused? I don't know about that. We'll talk about it all coming up. But whatever you do, remember, this is an information war, and each of us is soldiers in the fight. So share those feeds right now on Real Alex Jones on X and rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. Do you think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't really work? I always ask people, they never know the answer, even salesmen. I go, who's the best salesman? Who's the smartest salesman? Who are the most successful salesmen? The best salesman, a smart salesman, goes and finds what is the hottest, best product that's in demand. It sells itself. I promote freedom. I promote liberty. I promote what I think is good. My marketing strategy, if I like something and think it's great and I research it, I push it on you. You are insane if you don't get our ultramethylene blue, the very best doctor. You're insane if you don't get our methylene red. You're crazy if you don't do bovine colostrum. In fact, I realized the first few months I took that, I got busy. It ran out. I didn't get more. I just remember that and found some. Was taking it last night. So good for your hair, your nails, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of the milk a cow puts out. Any mammal does. It is super nutrient. Incredible. You're crazy if you don't take these products. They really work and they fund the operation.
Time for humanity to stand up in the info war and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot. Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network, and you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Confirmed from White House sources that Trump is looking at a wide range of civil emergencies to declare for the midterms coming up in 6 months and for the economy. Now, we don't know specifically what those are yet, but Peter Tichtin is one of Trump's advisors on this and has been calling for the election civil emergency. Joins us here in about 52 minutes from now. But I wanted to get Kyle Serafin on, top FBI whistleblower, batting average close to 1,000, to get his take just in general on where the country is, where the bureaucracy is, and Sebastian Gorka coming out and basically saying Tucker Carlson and other people are being looked at as potentially terrorists, and then they say, oh, they're calling for violence, which is not true. Neither he or Nick Fuentes are. And, you know, those are two of the people that have been, you know, being attacked along with myself, top five or six. Really concerning. We have some new clips of Gorka doubling down. And Breitbart interviewing him saying, oh, great, let's criminal investigate them for getting money from foreign powers. So Trump is now allied with the former law firms that did all the Russiagate on him, Paul Weiss Law Firm, that targeted me and still is. And now he's got Gorka in there, a neocon, who's also for internet censorship, putting out a new national terrorism directive that talks about the left, but then also says, but we consider anybody that's conservative or nationalist or populist who isn't for Trump, we consider them, you know, in that same vein. But even declaring, you know, Democrats that disagree with Republicans as potential terrorists is a very dangerous situation. What we saw the Democrats do. So I just call balls and strikes. But before we go to Kyle, I want to play a clip of Kyle that I thought was particularly informative, and I agree with everything he had to say about Trump and the economy and him breaking promises. We don't say this with pleasure. we say this with pain so that Trump stops doing it. But instead, he's doubled down and says, hey, I don't care about the American people and their economic plight. Why would you say that? Here's Kyle Serafin talking about it.
Is that what I voted for? Did I vote for paying more money to our government so that I can pay more money for fuel? I feel like he ran on a different thing. Am I going to go back to the thing? Yeah, I'm going to go back to the thing. Number three, end inflation, make America affordable again. I would say that one way you wouldn't make America affordable again is by paying for more FBI and paying more for your gas. If only he had thought about that. Oh, he did. He did think about that. That was the number three priority when he ran. Do you guys think that November is going to be okay? Just because I feel like I'm going to be right and I'm going to be vindicated in this thing that I'm saying and the fact that I can go back to the promises that were made by the president and then find out, like, well, you didn't keep them, so why would you expect to keep power in the House and the Senate? Just because I'm going to be right about that, it doesn't mean that I'm psyched. It means that we're all losing. Nothing worse than being right and also losing. Again, the analogy, as I think you guys said, his name is Peter Boyle, great actor in The X-Files, standing on top of what ends up being a dead body. And they're like, why are you smiling? Because he's uncovered the dead body he was looking for. He was a psychic. And he's like, I'm not smiling. I'm wincing. I almost named today's show. I'm not smiling. I'm wincing. I'm not thrilled about this. It's bad. It's all bad.
My plan will cut energy prices in half or more than that within 12 months of taking office. It will be an economic revival of our country like no one has ever seen before. Energy was what caused our problem initially. Energy is going to bring us back. That means we're going down and getting gasoline below $2 a gallon, bring down the price of everything from electricity rates to groceries, airfares, and housing costs.
Yeah, that would make sense. If you brought down the price of transportation and fuel, then everything would get cheaper. And so what did we get instead? We got data centers. We got destruction and bombing in the Middle East so that we could have higher gas prices. Yeah. I mean, he did get it down and he's right. In 12 months, they got the prices to a good spot. And then they were like, yeah, F it. Let's just do it. We've been in office for a year now. We hit the 12 month goal. Let's see if we can blow it out the wall.
But we're going to get this done. And you're going to have within 1 year, think of it, within 1 year, you're going to have electric bills and energy bills and your gasoline for your car is going to be 50% cheaper than it is right now. That's a big thing. That's a big thing. But we're going to get this done. And you.
So those were him. That was Donald Trump speaking in front of the Detroit Economic. What was it called? The Economic Club and the Economic Club of New York. Right. Those were all the claims that he was making then. Is he worried about you at the moment? Again, if we've got an FBI director who theoretically takes all of his marching orders from Donald Trump, I have to believe that that's what's going on. Cash is nothing but team loyalty to Donald Trump. Did he go, excuse me, sir, but I know that this organization spied on you and I know that they actually kicked down the door of your house and ran through and looked through your wife's underwear drawer. And I know that they did all that stuff, but we need to give them another $1 billion. We need to increase their budget by about 10%. I know you cut it previously for the first year, but now that I'm in here and even though I don't know what I'm doing and even though I brought on a bunch of management that still continues to be management that was hired by the last guy who did the last thing, and we're not going to go after Chris Ray. By the way, do you guys hear any things about indictments of Chris Ray or that he somehow did something wrong? No, they're going after Jim Comey. Why? Because they won't get Jim Comey. He's also back in the news. He's talking about maybe you shouldn't be a drunk if you're the FBI director. Fact check, true. Don't like Jim Comey, but accurate. You think that Patel went to him and was like, hey, boss, because I know that's what he calls him. Hey, boss, we're going to need like another $1 billion on the FBI. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's what I hope. I was hoping you would rebuild bigger than ever before, bigger and more beautiful, because that's what he cares about.
What extent are American financial situations motivating you to make a deal?
Not even a little bit. The only thing that matters when I'm talking about Iran, they can't have a nuclear weapon. I don't think about American financial situation. I don't think about anybody. I think about one thing. We cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon. That's all.
What was that? Do you care about Americans' financial situations? No, not even a little bit. The only thing we care about is the thing that I told Bibi, not Netanyahu, I care about, or at least Bibi Netanyahu said that I told him that I cared about, which is that Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. So when it comes to affordability, just remember, just because things are expensive doesn't mean that in your heart of hearts, you're not psyched.
Carl Servant Show. CarlServant.com. On X, Carl Servant. All right, Kyle, thanks for joining us today. There's a lot to cover. I already threw out a lot of the issues. You can go wherever you want first, probably since we just played that clip. Iran, Trump, I've confirmed, is looking at economic emergency orders. We don't know what specifically. Now the Israel lobby is saying Iran was behind 9/11, so we have to attack. You know, there's that whole area. There's Gorka coming out just megalomaniacally saying we're going to track you all and put you on list off what you say, and starts going after Tucker Carlson. I mean, this is a nightmare situation with the midterms coming up. Kyle Servant, thanks for being here with us. A former FBI agent, major whistleblower, great patriot. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Alex. Also, thanks to InfoWars fans whose handle over on X that cut that from my show the other day. That was a nice little cut, and it's a compelling argument of why you need to go back to basics when things feel like they're spinning out of control. And if you got a mess in the Middle East, I actually heard a clip. This is something Trump said at the summit in China. He said it's the only thing that anyone's talking about. It's like, I don't know anybody that's talking about the summit in China. I mean, it's happening, but it's certainly not dominating the conversation because regular Americans don't know about that. Regular Americans know that when they pull up to fill up with gas, it's expensive. That when they go and they try to buy bacon at the grocery store, it's still $8 more for the same pack that they used to buy than when, you know, Joe Biden was in. If you go back and set the clock back to the beginning when Joe Biden came in, like, we had a huge spike in prices across this country. And it was for food. It was for energy costs. It was for housing. It was for all the things that people have to do just to survive, rent and everything else. And then, like, that didn't go down. And that was kind of what he claimed. He said, I'm going to fix the energy cost and it's going to bring everything else down. It was a huge thing. Alex, I don't know if you remember this because I got frustrated with a Benny Johnson bit. Benny Johnson was running around in November of last year saying that they're going to make housing affordable for young people. Do you remember that? I mean, that was like a huge push to the young people. Like, we're going to bring back the American dream. Where is that gone? Because 2 days ago, Donald Trump says, I don't even care at all about your financial situations. I'm only interested in the most important thing. Now, I think in fairness, that was out of context, at least a little bit. He was talking about in terms of the Iran, you know, conflict, what's most important to him. And he said, I don't worry about anything else. But what an awful soundbite to give your opponents. I mean, just gave the most callous and.
Well, I mean, let me clarify. I mean, I thought about statement. That when I saw the clip and saw the full thing. But he's saying Iran comes first. Well, that's directly killing the economy and all based on Israeli lies. So I think it's fair to play the clip, you know, that way, because he's saying I care about this above the economy.
That's what he said. And again, people are going to hear that and go, oh, got it. So whenever you find yourself off the rails, whenever you find that you're, you know, your sports team's not winning, if you're doing something in your home life, you can always go back to the basics. Like, what are the elemental things that either you promised? How are you being judged and graded? Donald Trump gave us this rubric, and I've probably done it every single day for the last 3-4 months. I went back to the Agenda 47, which was the list of 20 promises that his campaign ran. It was the Republican platform for 2024. So it was the thing that America voted on and said, yeah, you're the guy. We like these 20 things. And he's basically gone against almost all of them, minus sealing the border. The border is good, but the border is good in an executive way. It's shut down such that we're not getting people in, but the minute anybody else gets into power and it's not Donald Trump and they have different priorities, they'll just open back up again because we haven't fixed the problem. So then what do you do with that? What do you do when you've basically made 20 promises and you're not keeping those 20 promises? He could go back to them and say, hey, this is what's really important. We could look at affordability. What do they call it? Like kitchen table issues, whenever they do the State of the Union, all that bit. Or you could just go off the rails and tell people I'm never going to be able to run again. He's historically unliked. The same people that he was touting just a minute ago on CNN saying that he has 100% support. It's disastrous because Americans he's underwater on almost every poll. And then the last thing you're going to do is you're going to say popular voices like Nick Fuentes, who you don't have to agree with, but like he's entertaining. I think Nick is very interesting. I don't agree with a lot of the stuff he says.
What they're doing is they literally blame myself, Candace Owens, Tucker,
right,
a few other people for Trump failure, and they're saying we're going to lose in the midterms, but they say we're inconsequential and have no audience and are a joke. No, it's Trump going against his promises and taking the economy. That's why it's unpopular. They need to take responsibility. It's like Netanyahu goes, I don't know why we're losing the propaganda war. Everybody's turned against us. You know, worldwide, we're the most unpopular country in the world. I guess it's social media. No, it's your actions. It's look in the mirror.
Actions.
Take responsibility.
Well, it's that thing they always attribute it to, like Einstein's definition of insanity. You know, it's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. The Israeli push to change the messaging campaign. Yes, part of it is what they're doing. And then the second is the way that they're telling people. It's like, if you don't agree with us, then you're bad, you're evil, you're wrong, you're immoral. You know, you can't be allowed in public society or polite society. And it's the exact opposite. If you taboo something, especially to Americans, we are such a contrarian culture. If you taboo
absolute
something, we want
effect.
It
That's
more.
What I'm saying. When I watch the World Jewish Conference and all these people, They're doing exactly what I would do if I wanted to turn everybody against me.
100%. I had this conversation with a reporter last night, and we were discussing this issue specifically. Without like any specifics of it, you can look and say, if you were going to do the worst thing possible and draw the most attention, you would keep doing what you're doing. You demonize people that said something otherwise. My example was this, because Alex, imagine this. Imagine if Israel actually wanted to not have the problems in PR that they currently have. I look at a group like the Mormons. Okay, the Mormons, nobody's psyched when the Mormons knock on your door. If you're not Mormon and they knock on your door, you're like, oh God, there's like two guys in white shirts with a little name tag and a black tie, and they got bicycles and they're outside my door and I want to be doing anything except talking to them. You open the door up, you talk to them. They're super nice people. They made an entire musical lampooning their religion, like their most sincerely held beliefs, and it was called The Book of Mormon. It was a musical and it was in New York and it was a bunch of libs that were making
and
fun of these people.
And it backfired and got the Mormons more support than ever.
What did they do, though? They didn't say, like, how dare you? You can't criticize us. This is like, you know, that is a hate speech. You guys are doing awful, evil things. No, they took out a full page ad in the Book of Mormon playbook for the musical and said, hey, thanks so much for watching this comedy about us. If you'd like to learn more about the Book of Mormon, why don't you reach out at our websites and we'd love to talk to you. They took it magnanimously, with humility, with a little bit of comedy.
Well, that's another thing I see when Democrat and Republican politicians, particularly Democrats, get made fun of. They want to ban the AI. They want to ban an obvious comedy. They call something that's totally fake, obviously fake, to a five-year-old criminal. Hillary had a guy put in jail for that. It backfires. When I get made fun of, I love it. Not only do I just get it's funny, even if it's mean, like when somebody makes fun of you and you get mad about it, it makes it 10 times worse. Anybody knows that.
It's the simplest thing. Like, there are all kinds of crazy Alex Jones remixes and memes and songs. And half the time when I see them, I want to send them to you because I know you'll laugh, because all it does is it says you're worth discussing. The things you say are interesting. They stick with people, you know, that they have some sort of impact. And for people to get mad about it, the things that are really gross are the lies. I mean, I see those. I've got we've got Jamie Raskin out there right now talking about it's unfair that the Trump administration is corruptly paying off people that the last administration, you know, maligned. And when you see that stuff and they start saying objectively false things about you, I still don't think they should be banned. Like, I don't think that I'm currently a party to a lawsuit where somebody is suing me over something I said. And people say false things about me all the time. I know they say false things about you. I read them. I know them to be false. And I just go, why would we ban them? All I would do is call more attention to this
thing. Well, especially when you're a public figure. So shifting gears into this, just in general, I'm going to get into a bunch of topics here. I saw your prediction. I think it's very safe to say. I think they lose the House and Senate currently. But then Trump's talking about declaring a national emergency to stop mail-in ballots and the rest of it. I think the Democrats are still going to run their play of dead people voting and stuff. And I think it'll put it all into question even more and look like he's manipulating the election, even though I've talked to the lawyers, I've studied it. Some of the emergencies he's talking about declaring, I think, are constitutional. But at the same time, the optics of it. But now he's talking about an economic emergency. What do you think of that talk?
I think that it admits defeat, does it not? I mean, the whole point, like one of his 20 core promises, it was a number 19 on of the 20, was that they were going to make elections secure. That was a priority for the RNC, which means the people who ran for office under that banner, under the GOP, they said they were going to do this. And they just are basically, if you have to do it through executive order, you're admitting that you don't actually have power to do the things you said you would do. That is a loss, number one. And then the second piece of it is, 17 years ago, I lived in California before I enlisted in the military. All right. I lived in Los Angeles County. I lived in Burbank. And I moved out in June of 2009. And I, went to the Air Force and lived in Texas, and I never moved back to California ever again. I'm still registered to vote in California. I've been registered in Virginia. I've been registered in Texas more than once, a couple times. I've been registered in New Mexico. I'm still registered in California 17 years later, and I can't get my name off the voter rolls. So they didn't fix these things. These are done state to state, and the states don't want to fix them because they love having the opportunity. I get an email every single time that there's an election in California, despite having sent emails in, sending letters in. I tried to go to their website to unenroll. You can sign up from your cell phone if you're a homeless person and you give them the street corners where you live at, or you like sleep on the ground, you can get a ballot. But if you tell them the same way, hey, I haven't lived there in 17 years and I'm supposed to drop off the rolls after three presidential cycles that I haven't voted, I'm still on the rolls there. So they haven't fixed the problem. And if you have to go to emergency executive orders and potentially like semi-martial law type declarations, you've basically admitted that I'm unable to do the thing, which is legislate the solution. Article 1 is supposed to be the ones that fix some of these problems, including stuff like the border. We can't lock in a single thing. So I think that's an admission that you failed, which is Trump. I mean, I think it's where we're going to end up. I do think that we end up losing those House and Senate. And I think that it's going to be earned. Unfortunately, I think Americans who were independent, who did not say I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat, they said I'm interested in the best ideas for this country. And if you have them, then I'm for you. Donald Trump had them in 2024, no doubt. Between the
what
two
do you
of them,
think
he
changed
was objectively
about 6
better.
Months in the administration. You were on the show saying he's about to take a really bad turn. That was all the intel you were getting. What do you think was behind that? I want to shift gears on all these other topics that tie into it. And is Trump not thinking about what the Democrats are going to do once they get control of the House and Senate? I mean, it's going to be a political bloodbath.
Yeah, it's the end. It's like it's the worst. It's the end of his, you get basically politics is really, it's really goofy. It's quarter by quarter, right? On a 4-year presidency.
He'll have no power. He'll be a lame duck.
You've got to be triumphant in your first year to be able to get a strong enough run up into the second so you can get a second half. Otherwise, you get mercy ruled and you basically lose. And so he's running into that. What happened 6 months in was obvious to me that the most dangerous thing, I mean, they needed to have massive deportations. Those numbers were not happening. And I think there were a lot of logistical concerns with that, but they didn't mobilize everything. You know, they didn't move heaven and earth to get people out of here. And that would have had to have been done. And then the second most dangerous thing was, how do you de-weaponize government? He never took control of the intelligence agencies. There are 17 agencies, and about 80% of the personnel that work in those intelligence agencies have very different ideas about what the country is supposed to do, and they're not interested in whether or not an elected official wants to change their mind. So Tulsi Gabbard has been wrangling quietly, to try to get these organizations under control.
Well, she's already given Trump all the proof of Crossfire Hurricane and the treason, and then he has Todd Blanch in there that blocks it all. So that's Trump's fault.
It's even worse than that, though, Alex, because a lot of the stuff that these people did, they're not actually illegal. That's the whole point. And I think this is something that is lost on most Americans. They go, oh, Obama was a traitor, or Brennan did this, or Clapper did this. And they have all these ideas. At the end of the day, those things they did, although they may have been unethical and they may have been immoral, they were not against the law. They were within the purview of those positions. So the answer is not, we need to get those positions and wield that power. The answer is, you need to strip these agencies from the capabilities that they have.
You just
and
said
no
the key.
One's interested in
you
that.
Just said the key. Let's come back and talk about that. The left's all mad that Trump's using executive orders now that are copies of others. They were all for executive power when they thought they controlled it. Exactly. The answer is to strip the power so no one can do it. Instead, Trump started figuring out a year ago, I'm not going to strip it. I'm just going to use it.
Exactly that.
And that's where we are. And now he's getting more and more with the taste of blood, the taste of political dictatorial power. He's getting wild-eyed. We'll come back and talk about what's about to happen next with Kyle Serafin. Stay with us. I am so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on. But we need your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 trifecta iodine at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat, then you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, for even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products. So it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directives.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot. Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network. And you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Let's go to Lucan, Texas, with Waylon and Willie and the Bull. The successful life we're living's got us feeling like the Hatfields and McCoy. Between Hank Williams' pain song, Newberry's strange song, blue eyes crying in the rain. Down to Lucan, Texas, nobody feeling no pain.
Honey, let's sell your diamond rings.
Baby, let's sell your diamond rings. Buy some boots and faded jeans and go away.
We've spent too long.
Boating tire killing me. And in your high society you cry all day. We've been so busy keeping up with the Joneses. Full car garage,
you know you can't do that.
And we're still building on. Maybe it's time we got down to some basics and love.
Sure. That's right. When Carl Serafin, a great talk show host, a patriot, Air Force veteran, EMT, FBI agent, whistleblower, said we got to get back to basics. More and more, and I've always known this, But it's really true. Changing things is an inside job. We individually have to be better. We have to be stronger. We have to fight harder. We have to inform better the public. We can talk all day about government corruption and all this, and we were asleep forever. At the end of World War II, we were the good guys and the boomers and the 60s and fun. And then corruption came in, and now we wake up in this hell. Well, nobody's coming to save you but yourself and God working through you. So, Kyle, finish up with that statement. I want to get into Sebastian Gorka because he's a nasty critter. Anti-free speech, pro-deplatforming of myself and others, a neocon, became a citizen in 2012, very nasty. And now, I'm not going to play the clips, already played them 2 days in a row, but everybody saw it. Are there any right-wing terrorists we have to go after? Breitbart editor says, he says, well, Tucker and them are, you know, they're not really right-wing, so, you know, don't worry, we're going to get them. And then now new statements about, no, we're mapping out whoever criticizes Israel or whatever, and, you know, your speech isn't total. Very creepy person. And again, he has at least seven different, because I've been following this guy for years, when he's like at CPAC trying to have me thrown out and gets mad they won't. He's just so officious and imperious, and he's the boss, and he's so full of himself. I don't hate my enemies, okay, but I'm just saying Gorka is such a cartoon character and so unself-aware, and then now he's the terrorism czar, and I'm just like, one more strike against this whole thing, Kyle Serafin.
Yeah, he's cartoonish is a good term. I used to go on his program pretty regularly. He would text me out, and he was super nice about it. You know, that's the funny thing.
Hello, like, Kyle, would you like to come on? He's got that
voice.
Like,
it'd be like, and now we have a very great patriot indeed and a whistleblower himself. This is Kyle Serafin, you know, friend of the show and friend of Bob Regina. As long as you are saying the things that they like, then you're on their team. And this is my biggest gripe with the Trump administration. The first thing I ever
it's
did.
It's become a cliquish cult.
Yeah, you get accused of being culty when if people don't agree with you, then they can no longer. Then they're no longer the good thing that you used to say about them. He wrote something to me on social media the other day. He said, you're so disappointing that I thought you were a patriot. I was born here. I served in this military. Who the hell are you? Like, just to be clear, what are we talking about? I was 27 years old, making six figures, working for a movie studio and living like a dream life for a lot of people. And I was like, I'm not really serving anybody. I'm not really adding any value to this country. What is my purpose? I'm going to go enlist and be an E3 and make $18,000 a year and live in barracks with like retarded 19-year-old children. And I did. And I'm glad I did it. Like, it made me a better man. But for someone to tell me whether I am or am not a patriot,
oh, I didn't
whether
know.
Tucker
I'm
Carlson's
so sorry
allowed to have an
to
opinion.
See you not a patriot now. When all you get is fired, sued, attacked, me
right.
too, to tell the truth. And he's sycophantically, in fact, in the dictionary, I'm going to be mean to him. But I wouldn't be surprised down the road in the dictionary or the encyclopedia with the definition of a sycophant. It's a picture of him because he's totally ingratiates himself. Oh, take the shots. Lockdowns are good. Oh, censor everyone until it was Trump. And it's just like he's a bloviating.
I can see this coming, Alex. I can. And so here. OK, so this is a good pivot towards where we're with the COVID whistleblower from the CIA, which I reached out to you about earlier. But this is a great pivot. They didn't solve these problems, and I see them coming back to haunt us. And if somebody else did it, it would be bad. But luckily, it's going to be Donald Trump doing it, so it's going to be a good thing. If we have a Hantavirus lockdown, you know, I've already seen Glenn Beck start pivoting this way. The other day, I was like, how do people excuse some of the things that I've seen Donald Trump say? I'm not against Trump instinctively, but when he says things that are dumb, like, I don't care about your financial situation, I only care about whether Iran has a nuke, I'm like, well, that's,
I mean
that's
just
not
from
a
position
message.
Of handing our political enemies the jackpot. That's the lottery
don't
ticket.
Don't give them this. Don't. I mean, who was it? Daniel Bongino used to always say that that politics is all about sound bites and snapshots. You want to give somebody the soundbite that says, I don't care about your financial situation. There is nothing more tone deaf to a regular American person who goes, forget about buying a house, because that's not an option for most people under 30 right now. They drive up to the gas station and it was $2.20 here in Austin to fill up like my minivan or my wife's minivan. And now it's $3.68.
Hey, I was never rich, super rich. Like they said, if I was, that'd be fine. I would expect, but you know, it was all lies, hundreds of million dollars. I know that was true, but yeah, I got a little bit where I wasn't worried about money when I had extra. It's been good that I'm crushed down to a tiny budget because I get to feel it. I get to go to the literally the grocery store. Well, I'm not going to get that. I'm going to get this. And I'm not going to get the porterhouse. I'm going to get the filet because literally I don't have any money. And then I've got more than most people. And I'm like, my God, this is horrible. I mean, this is bad.
This is actually it. Like, Alex, I can afford to fill my gas tank. I don't even have to drive anywhere. Like, I'm sitting in my house right now and I'm talking to you. And this is what I do for work. So I'm in a very blessed situation where financially my needs are met and I'm not in danger of my children going hungry or anything like that. So I'm very blessed knowing that. I also am a regular person. I just went and ran out in my neighborhood and I'm jogging by regular people who are driving to work and doing lawns. And, you know, my neighbors do regular jobs. And I used to be a regular guy 5 seconds ago and I'm slightly not a regular guy, even though I still mow my own lawn. Okay. There is an important thing that is lost when you find people that the entire administration is full of media types. When you've got 46-year-old non-parents running the FBI who fly around in a private jet and think that that's okay, who don't understand that they're not normal and they're multimillionaires, not because they've done anything great or they have any skill.
Well, they're in a bubble. Yes. But even worse is
that's it.
When you take people that didn't have money and power and give it to them, historically, they're even worse. Like 99% of people.
You find out what kind of person they are. Yeah, there's nothing like what do they always say? If you want to find out someone's character, give them some power. It's not people who are broke that are down and out. What are they going to lose? It's the people that have everything to lose. And this is the thing that this is where I think America feels like they may have miscalculated. And it really hurts. We put a guy in the office the first time around with Donald Trump where people were like, this guy has FU money. You know, they put people in this administration that theoretically have FU money. And everybody who has FU money, you're like, okay, the only thing that's valuable about having FU money is being able to say FU when someone comes to you and leans on you.
And we believed he was going to go fully to bat. And he did pretty much the first ad, man. And then I guess this time just decided to sell out to the system. But shifting gears back into major issues, because I want to hit the CIA.
I mean, that's where you find out, though, Alex, when they don't say FU and you thought they would, that's when people start feeling betrayed. Because America's, they wanted to outsource it to someone that had the ability to do the thing that they can't. And that's not what's happening.
Well, let's be clear. It's on record historically that Marie Antoinette at the French Revolution, when they came and said, everybody's starving, release the emergency grain. The truth was, she said, we don't have any because it was true. And that's historians, even the British historians got that. But they went to get her stormed and killed and her head cut off and said, she said, let them eat cake. So she didn't say, let them eat cake. But Trump's statement about, I don't care about the average American's financial situation is a literal let them eat cake statement. And I'm just saying that is cuckoo that he would even say that. And remember a month ago, I don't care about Medicare or Medicaid. We're a war economy. We're a war country now. What the hell?
Right. And guess what? I think it was the number 8 or the number 9 thing that he promised. Well, we were going to have no new wars. He was going to be the president of peace. He literally said in speeches, I am peace. You know, we're going to end all the wars. He's still out there bragging about ending wars, including ones that he started that are not over yet, which is even bizarre. So all of that feels like you're out of touch. And again, back to basics. How did this
back
all
to
come
basics,
about?
Crawling up out of hell is Gorka saying, I'm going to investigate you. I'm going to watch your speech. I'm going to map out who you are to Trump's supporters that are still loyal to what we actually try to do. I mean, that doesn't intimidate me. That gets me pissed off, man.
I think a lot of people are pissed off, and I think a lot of people feel like they were betrayed because they thought they were voting their way out of something. They thought that they outsourced like the nature of the revolution. I saw your intro kind of bumper video, which is really neat, by the way, the running through the 1984 bit. And if people have a short memory, I will refresh them. Guys like Vivek Ramaswamy were running around the country saying that we are having the spirit of 1776 in 2024. That there was a revolutionary
attitude. They basically co-opted what I really stand for.
That's right. Here's the big part of that, Alex. The crazy bit about all of that was, I think that there was a strong sentiment that if you didn't get Donald Trump as a bleed-off valve to the tension this country felt, that you were going to see actual, legitimate, real violence. Not like January 6th, where like some people were pissed off with a flagpole, but like actual people who have training, who have experience, that have time in small unit tactics and unit maneuvers, that they were going to legitimately move it forward in a violent way.
They said, let's pull back some of the fraud and let them have Trump to pacify them.
That's it. Yeah, that was the bleed off valve. And so people thought they voted their way out of it. They thought that they were getting the revolution via election. And so we were going to get. And here's the deal. Day one, he didn't even finish the parade for the inauguration, and he's already signing executive orders, and people are going like, oh, yeah, I love this. I made this reflection that I had on my podcast this morning, and I don't know that this will land with you too, but in 1997, Vince Flynn was an author. He wrote fiction and he wrote a book called Term Limits. Are you familiar with that one at all?
Yes, I've read it.
And the story of Term Limits, just for people who are not, is that in 1997, there were this book comes out and the some military special operators, this is pre-global war on terror, pre a lot of the kind of operator culture that we have today, but we still had this instinct. A bunch of military operators go and they kill off a bunch of politicians. And then they send this letter that says, basically, give us our government back, damn it. You know, and they're the good guys in the story. Like, they're the bad guys. They're the anti-heroes. But everybody's like, yeah, that nobody's sad about the politicians dying.
Yeah, I think the Mangione thing with 80+% of Democrats supporting it, even like 30% of Republicans, I think that also got a message through to him, too, which I don't want to go there. And that's why Gorka coming out here, threatening Trump's base, this fat blob. Whatever Euro trash he is, he doesn't understand
you
our psychology.
You sound low T, Alex. Are you low T? You seem like maybe you're an extremist.
Oh, yeah. Stop. Guys, get the clip. He said, those of you that think this is a forever war, either have low IQ or low T. No, the Pentagon told Trump it would take years to make the mullahs fall, and they probably wouldn't. So this is a forever war, and what's a forever is crash the economy and Trump's recovery fails, which has already happened, so he's got to gear up an emergency. Here's Gorka the gay whale just last night. You're low T. You're not a man. And you look at him when he poses with guns, he looks like he's got a lot of sugar in the tank. It's not bad that he's a gay whale. I mean, I'm not saying he's gay, but he's a spirit. My gaydar is like pegs. Like, gay. Like break. Danger.
I love the pulling this stuff out of you, Alex. This is my joy.
No. It's like, look at that. That's gay right there. Okay. That's like, you know.
That's a serious, serious, serious face.
Well, no, he's looking at a big old ding dong. He's like that. Like a dog that sees a quail in the bushes or something, a pointer. I mean, look at this. The gay whale. So
he's got my shorts.
I am in the administration. I am the terror czar. Bow in fear to me, you wretched knave. Here he is. Your low T. Here he is.
I had, sadly, a putative conservative journalist today from the Daily Caller ask me an asinine question.
He said,
how is the operation against Iran not another forever war? The idea, I mean, you just have to be
the idea.
Either low-T or you have to be mentally challenged to compare decades of forever wars with thousands of American casualties to the pinpoint accuracy of what we're doing in Operation Epic Fury with no boots on the ground.
I was spooning with Cash Patel. That's a joke, Cash. You don't need to sue me, but if you want to, go ahead. Sorry, I'm cutting in on you. Like, you're making so many good points. Just go ahead, Kyle. I'm gonna shut up.
No, this is like I've told you. This is what makes me happy is being able to lure you into these funny little rants because they're so funny. It's like what Americans are going like, yeah, that's how I feel. That's how I feel about it.
You're like, low T if you don't love this war. Grow some testicles.
It's so silly. It's frustrating because, again, we had this huge opportunity. We had an opportunity to do something important. And instead, what we saw is that this administration came in and just wanted to finish. Like, they wanted to do their version of what the other ones did.
Yeah,
do you remember that everybody
exactly.
Under
Trump
Biden,
didn't come to
oh,
get his.
High. Look at this orca
Trump,
whale.
Trump didn't come to get his in the first administration. It's true. This time, he just said, I'm joining the dark side. In fact, I'm going to be the dark side.
I suppose so. This is the ring of power is the analogy I always use. The other thing is this. Okay, so term limits was like part one of the argument, 97, Vince Flynn. So there was a moment in time. By the way, our national debt was less than $10 trillion at that point, and they were talking about how in a couple years it might be at $10 trillion. Now we're coming up on 40, so that's pretty amazing.
It's now bigger than the GDP debt service.
Right, and we've quadrupled it in my lifetime. And I'm not that old.
Sounds
so
like you're low T. What are you
indeed.
What are you wearing? Strait of almost closes, but that's the meat cake.
That's the Strait of Epstein in my world over here.
Yeah.
So
exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah, what's going on with Epstein cover up?
Well, it's interesting. Did you say that Trump has actually hired Paul Weiss as a firm?
They did a settlement. He's been protecting him. And now he's letting Paul Weiss attack whoever he wants. He's basically in league with him. He's taking their talking points.
So Do you know that Brad Karp was one of the guys who had to step down? He was the chairman of Paul Weiss, and he had to step away because of the exposures in the Epstein. Yep. Yeah. It's just fun when all these things end up coming back.
Let's be clear. He was the crisis.
Good.
You okay? Yeah.
I think we just punched the wrong show up real quick. There's another guest. He's coming up. New studio, a few things. It's kind of fun. It's like live TV, which it is. Didn't that Paul Weiss head guy, he was the crisis manager for major universities and groups with Epstein, right?
He was answering all these questions. I was trying to look up on it before we went live. There were emails saying that he was connected. He was Woody Allen was asking about client matters.
He was a crisis manager for him.
That checks out. He was the chairman of that law firm. So he had to step away from his space in there as like the lead guy.
What a national power.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the computers. We need to go to rebroadcast for a little while. Or what's going on, guys? This is a fun. It's a great new system, but no one's even talking to me. I'm not even sure if we're on air right now.
that's about right.
Hey, it's kind of fun. Like, you got other hosts like chopping in. It's a new thing. It's a beautiful world.
Anything could happen, Alex.
New studio. We're figuring out the bug. Sorry. Back to Paul Weiss.
Yeah, I didn't dig deep enough into him. I just remember he was one of the names. So when you said it, I was like, wait, where have I heard Paul Weiss recently? And apparently, we're not talking about all the people that have disappeared that were, that were implicated in Epstein files. I mean, for whatever it's worth, the Iran war has been very effective at getting people to talk about that. I mean, I watched Fox News talk about kamikaze dolphins the other day, and those apparently aren't real. But that doesn't stop them from doing whole segments about how exciting it would be that the Iranians are angry dolphin killers.
Only the U.S. has kamikaze mind-laying dolphins.
What I hear. Yeah, that's what our Secretary of War went out and confirmed.
These scumbags kill dolphins. Meanwhile, we're the world master of it.
We really are. I had friends that were in special operations at the beginning of the global war on terror that told me that they had operations where SEAL dolphins, like guys that the SEAL teams were running dolphins against Marine recon guys. And the dolphins were like breaking ribs of dudes that were on the side of a rubber inflatable boat. There's all kinds of wild stuff that we do. We like all the things that you hear them engaging in. This is like old hat. Refocusing on this problem, right? There was a problem that was given to Donald Trump.
Refocusing on low T.
The problem was real simple. It's like, hey, you got a government that's not serving the people, right? That's what people were trying to get out of. That's what they were trying to outsource. This was the problem with this is the Marie Antoinette, the 1776. The thing, the elites have something, whether they be a Jeffrey Epstein or Epstein class, whatever you want to call them. There are also this government group, the blob, the deep state, call it what you like, that serves not us, not me, not you, not regular people that are listening to this. They serve more government and they think they know better and they think that they're not accountable when there's an election. And so theoretically, that was what we thought Donald Trump was coming in to fix. And that his claim was he was going to stop letting government serve government and get it back in the business of serving people. And how would you do that? You do mass deportations. You would try to fix the economic scenario so that people could be, not so tax burdened and so on. We were going to do tariffs instead of the IRS. None of these things ends up happening. That's frustrating. We weren't going to do war. We were going to de-weaponize government, which meant that government wouldn't have predetermined outcomes like you're a bad person because you say things we don't like. So we're going to go find the crime you did. We're going to let Seb Gorka determine that Tucker Carlson is clearly a domestic terrorist. So we'll go after them. By the way, they already did this crap. They did this crap. And the current FBI, the current DOJ.
Hold on, I was about to say, we don't want to make each other's victims. You've been criminally investigated. It's been classified. Mm-hmm. So have I. I send you the latest. You send me the latest. We've already been targeted by the Democrats. Even when Trump got in, the hangover. Over and now they're saying, oh, you even said like 6 months ago, I bet they come after us next. And now he's telling us, but that discredits them so badly. What do you think that does to the base when they come after Tucker Carlson and other people? That's the again, another Streisand effect.
There's a few people that immediately are going to be on board with it, right? I said this morning, and I think this is still true. Like, if you meditate on this, think about this. Tom Massey is one Donald Trump True Social post away from running away with victory in his primary. Literally, if Donald Trump had his account hacked and someone said, Q and I decided that we're done with the PSYOP and Tom Massey actually is a patriot and he's always been on the right side. We were just playing with you guys. Go vote for Massey. He's the best. One tweet like that, one post like that, and there are literally millions of people that mindlessly would be like, yeah, that's what's up. Like they would turn on a dime and never even recognize it. But there's a ton of people that are disillusioned and said, didn't you say that these are the priorities and aren't you not living up to them? Didn't you say you were going to de-weaponize government and make the intel communities like come to heel? And instead of seeing that happen, instead of getting the accountability for the folks that they claimed, like, I don't know, didn't Kash Patel write a whole book called Government Gangsters that had a list of the people that were problematic? If you can't get them because they did something illegal, because they didn't do anything illegal, the next step up the rung would be the systems that they are working within are the actual problems.
No, you're right. Stay right there. I got a huge guest coming up, but you got other points to make. But I got a consolation prize to you. I'm sure you've heard that they're coming out with a whole new movie about the Odyssey, and that a woman is going to play Achilles, a woman that weighs like 89 pounds and is anorexic. Okay, a woman that says she's a man, and then you have Achilles' wife is a black lady, which I think is great. But last minute, overhead shot, please. They have replaced, what happens when you replace Elliot Page, replaces Brad Pitt as Achilles? Don't worry, they've replaced Elliot Page with high testosterone war master Sebastian Gorka. Here is Sebastian Gorka, Achilles, this is it. Here's what happens when you replace Achilles with Sebastian Gorka. Here it is. Now we can joke around about that, but back to Hollywood's insanity while we talk about Trump going sideways. How would they, the woman literally weighs 89 pounds and is anorexic. They're putting an 89-pound woman in his Achilles when, it should be Schwarzenegger in his prime. What do you make of this insanity, Carl Servant, in closing?
Well, this is the whole point that you opened up with, right? You played a couple of...
By the way,
of,
this is not a joke. Look at this on screen.
This is not a joke.
This is who they're replacing it with.
Yeah, I can't remember what Paige's name was previously, but yeah. Okay, so look, this is exactly the point that I made in the opening clip that you so graciously shared. Just because we're right about this doesn't mean that we're excited about this, right? Because the alternative is that's subjectively crazy.
It's Brad a war Pitt on was masculinity, a which is a war freak. On the family. It's a war on the nuclear family.
If you go, you're not in favor of what Donald Trump is doing, therefore you're a Democrat, you're low T, you're low IQ. It's like, no. I'm in favor of what Donald Trump promised because those were objectively good ideas. The things that are currently happening are not those things. If he went back to doing the things that he said he would do, I'm on board for it because the alternative is not an option for me. But you're basically telling me like your vote doesn't matter, which is why I keep telling people I don't think we're voting our way out of it. And I think that people are starting to recognize this, too, whether it be data centers, whether it be an affordability, whether you elect a president who says I am peace. And the first thing he does after the first year is go and start a war. It tells me that we're not going to be able to do this in an easy way. You're convincing me that my vote doesn't matter. That's what they've done. And that is the worst thing you can do to a bunch of people that.
No, I agree. But in closing, you got to come back. You got to come back sooner. But are you threatened by the toxic masculinity of Elliot Page? I mean, you don't think that's like the
truly and deeply and madly.
That is not the top of. I mean, look at that masculine toxicity.
Top of the food chain.
That is top of the food chain. That's the Medallion Shark. Kyle Serafin, thank you so much.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, alexjoneslive.com, and the link, alexjonesapp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.